This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, San Diego. Welcome in. Tony Gwynn Jr.
If you Chris keep that up, Tony, I'm not going to date you anymore. That's what happened to Jerry Seinfeld in that episode.
Hello.
He said hello, and his girlfriend said goodbye. She didn't like that.
I thought that was a Mrs. Doubtfire.
No. It could also be a Miss Doubtfire.
It could have worked for both. It could work for both.
Yeah, exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matthew Scraby, back at the lovely confines of Petco Park as the Padres get ready for a three-gamer against the Arizona D-backs.
Four games.
Excuse me.
This is Thursday, Tony.
It's not Friday.
It's totally understandable for you to not know what day it is.
That's what happens when you get night games.
You're traveling all over the place, yeah.
Too many night games. We played three of them in Anaheim, so my whole clock is just
usually the final game of a road series is a getaway day game, but
right.
I guess they figured since you're close enough to San Diego, you wouldn't mind getting home at midnight last night, which is when you guys finally got back.
They could care less how I felt or how we felt about a night game on a travel day. But nonetheless, we were close, so it wasn't extremely bad. Padres looked to kind of reset themselves after losing three tough ones after really three good starts from their rotation. Typically, when we have these type of conversations, I come on here and say, it's pretty simple. They didn't start. They didn't have a good start in pitching, and that kind of went from there. That was not the case.
Really, the last four games.
They've
had four
Anaheim
good
series.
Starts in a row, and they didn't win any of those games. That's a great call because we've been saying that all year that the team will go as its starting pitching goes.
Yeah,
but that wasn't true this week.
That wasn't true at all. Yeah. At least the last four games, and so that's part of the reason why I'm not fretting as much as maybe everybody else is because the starting pitching has been good. I went through some of the numbers yesterday, and listen, I think the four games that we're talking about were also four games in which the Padres didn't do something that they've been doing a lot better this year, and that is hit with runners in scoring position. They didn't have a ton of opportunities, but nonetheless, the opportunities they got, they really weren't cashing them in. And so they end up losing. They've lost four straight. You look in the National League for team average, Padres number one. You look at runs, the Padres in the National League are number five. They're doing a lot of things well. They got the most hits in the National League. So I think when I look at this, I am hopeful that, I mean, you got four good starts. And by the way, two of those came from Randy Vasquez and Adam Mazur. And so, you know, you're going to need a few more of those because guess what? Joe is not coming back after this. My guess is he's not going to come back after this 15 stint. He's going to be on there a little bit longer. And they've kind of indicated that they're going to, you know, take this one slow because he needs rest is what it sounded like.
Yeah, he can't even throw the ball right now. So even when he's healthy, he's going to need at least a couple of weeks to build up, right?
He was able to avoid a rehab start. I don't think he's going to be able to avoid it on this occasion. And Yu Darvish, although not concerned about him at all, we don't know when he's coming back. It's a soft tissue hamstring. I don't think they're viewing this as something serious at all. But the point is, you're going to need multiple starts likely from Vasquez and Mazur. And if they continue to pitch like that, that's a good thing. Now, you're certainly not going to be able to score, I think it was one, two. How many did they get yesterday?
Two. Yeah, that's not going to win you much.
It's going to be tough. So the offense hit a little bit of a rut here these last four, and it came at a time where they got good pitching. So they were in those games, weren't able to pull through. So you come here against a Diamondback team who is chasing you right now in the National League West, but they're a little banged up too as well. And so they lost yesterday coming into this series. I think the Giants got them. So we'll see how they fall. See if the Padres can bounce back today, Chris.
Yeah, I think it's getting to be a little bit important. The standings in the National League right now are jumbled to the point where if the Padres turn it right back around, which they've done several times already this season. I mean, sorry about the phrase, but if they hop back on the roller coaster and go back up, they'll go right back into the fourth.
I take exception to that, Chris.
I know you do. But stop making fun of Mike Schilt, because I'm gonna sick him on you the next time he sees you.
Fine. You're the one bringing up the phrase.
I brought the phrase up, but you were the one that made mention of it. Look, if they get a little roll, have a nice homestand, which they're overdue for, let's be honest. They haven't had a great homestand all year, and you've got four with Arizona, you've got three with Oakland. You get back to work here a little bit, then you're going to be right back in the 4 or 5 spot. But if you have a bad homestand and lose 5 out of 7, you could be 9th or 10th or 11th just like that. That's how close the standings are. So the games are important. But having said that, look, Manny Machado, I don't know if he's going to play tonight. We'll see about the lineup when it comes out. I don't know if he'll play this weekend. Hopefully he'll just force his way back into the lineup. But you take Manny out, you've already got Bogarts out, you've already got Darvish out, and you've got Musgrove out. That is 4 of your 5 $30 million ball players all sitting on the sidelines at one time. And, I know people are upset with how the Padres played this week, and, it doesn't feel very good to lose to the Angels like that. But I don't know how many teams in baseball you can take 4 guys like that off their roster, and they're not going to miss a step. So, the Padres got to figure out a way, to get these games, get back on the beat here, and hopefully it starts tonight.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be tough there, though.
And listen, the Padres are, look at this, make sure, 13-19 at home. This has not been a cozy confine, if you will, for the Pods this year.
Yeah.
But let's see if they can change that around.
Let's go.
They went 3-3 last homestand?
Yankees, they went 1-2. Marlins, they went 2-1. Correct.
Yeah, so 3-3. They had the chance for the sweep. It got away from them.
Right.
They
need a winning homestand. I'd like a 5-2, and it is interesting. Okay, if you don't like roller coaster, and let's be honest, it has kind of been one all year. I mean, they've been up, they've been down. It hasn't been drastic ups and
roller
downs.
Roller coaster might be too strong.
Maybe a little too
because when we think of roller coasters, I'm thinking like
big drops.
Yeah, I mean that's what.
And we haven't had a going up really.
It's just like
yeah. No, you're right.
It's a child's roller coaster.
Right, there you go. We're talking SeaWorld right now. SeaWorld.
Whoa, now don't say that about SeaWorld.
Chris is very afraid of one of their rides.
They've got a couple of scary rides at SeaWorld, Tony.
Which one is that?
I haven't been to SeaWorld.
They have one called
SeaWorld in a little bit of time.
I think it's called Empire. You ride that one with your kids, Tony, and then tell me that SeaWorld has kiddie roller coasters. I think you'll change your tune.
I think I finally figured out how to explain this team in my words.
Give it a shot.
Because I'm done with the whole series thing. I'm done being defensive of this team because every time I am, they make me look stupid. I'm done defending players on the internet because I'm stupid. But here's what it is, guys. It's like when I was trying to get sober. I would string a few days together. Everybody was feeling a little bit better about things.
I shouldn't laugh because this
is actually
serious.
No, keep laughing because this is how I brought this up for a reason. Everybody gets excited about things, and then, hey, one day I had a beer. I'm back at the beginning. Everybody's kind of bummed, but they're still kind of excited about it. Then I put together like a week, and then I relapse again, and everybody's bummed. At a certain point, and this is where I'm at, guys, I just don't believe that the alcoholic is going to stop drinking at this point. I just don't believe it.
But you've already proven that to be wrong.
I have proven that to be wrong.
You did stop drinking. Uh-huh. So.
But I'm at the point with the alcohol. The Padres are the alcoholic in this one. And I'm at the point where I am angry at them and I am disappointed in them and I am about to freak out on them.
I think I have a better one. And Jesse and I talked about this and then we found the quote from one Bill James, who I don't quote often.
Bill James, the baseball analytic.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And this kind of puts it in, I think, the right window. He tweeted this, actually. He said, fans of a 500 team overreact to every win and loss. A good team, you know, you can't win them all. A 100-loss team, you get used to it. A 500 team, emotionally, you're as good as the last 24 hours. If that doesn't describe us, here in San Diego, as well as it can be, I don't know what does.
You know, I truly love this guy, Tony Quinn.
Tony,
Jr.
Bill James?
Well, him too. Because I would you're not going to believe this, Tony. On the round table today,
we've been doing this all day. Don't say it.
On the round table today, I used that exact. That
did
exact
you really?
Reference.
See, this is why we're partners, man.
Yeah, I'd use that exact reference because I think it does describe us perfectly. We are a 500 team, yep. And with a 500 team, every loss is the end of the world, and every win is a ticket to the World Series, and that's how this season has been for us as fans.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's that way for the players, and that's what Tony tries to get across to us, I think, on this show.
He does,
on a daily basis.
And I do try to keep that in mind.
Right, they show up to work, and you know, look, they're disappointed. They didn't, you know, get the job done against the Angels, but you know, the Diamondbacks don't care about that. There's a game tonight, so you know, the Padres are going to get ready and play and try to win a baseball game. That's their only focus. Our focus can be about the rest of the stuff that's going on. So, Bill James, thumbs up on that quote. I think it's right on.
I don't, as I said, I don't quote Bill James often, but I think it fits where we are. I think the thing that we should lock in on is the 500 part, because that is what the Padres have literally been mostly all season. Whether it's one game up, one game below, two games up, two games below, three games up. It's never really getting further than that. It's usually right there, and then the change happens. And so you start to break down why that is. You got one of the better offenses in the National League. You got, the pitching staff is climbing up the ladder as well. So, you know, what is it then? You know, and so when you really start to dig deeper, I mean, Toddy's gotten going here, I told you I was getting ready to come. He's rolling, right? Manny, before this quad, starting to look pretty good. Prior to that, though, it's really been Jerickson, Camposano early.
Merrill early.
And so those aren't the guys that are carrying your ball club, right? They were able to stay there without, you know, the big guys. And so, you know, in the last couple of weeks, the big guys have started to come. The other guys have kind of slowed a little bit. And so what the idea is that you kind of keep everybody, you know, mid, you know, not too high, not too low, and then that offense kind of takes off with everybody kind of doing a little bit of something. We haven't seen that yet from this offense. We waited for it all last season, never really saw it. And so I understand the PTSD on that end. But the point is this right now, the way they've played, it's been a 500 ball club. And so therefore, we, the fan base, will react as such. We get a win, greatest thing ever. We get a loss, oh my gosh, the season is over. That is our reality right now. Until we run off, as Chris has been asking for, like an 8-straighter or 10-straighter, and you start to separate, then it might feel a little bit differently, these wins and losses. But as long as we are 2 up, 2 down, 1 up, 1 down, we better strap it in. This is what we should all get used to.
Yes, please use your safety bar and keep your hands and feet inside.
Yes, this is the wildest ride in the wilderness.
The highest the Padres have been over 500 is 3, and the most they've been under is 4. And when they were 4 under, they immediately won four in a row. When they were three over, they immediately lost four in a row. So, you know, that is a – there you go, right?
This is what frustrates me, though. The Angels, and I'm not going to – you know, teams can beat teams any day of the week. But so the Angels coming into this series, Tony's like, what is this guy going to say? They were 1-8. They had just gotten swept by the Mariners. They had only won one game. They got swept by the Guardians. Then they won a game against the Yankees. Then they got swept by the Mariners. And then they swept the Padres. That's what frustrates me. Is because
okay, so let me ask you this. If we bring it up to Angels, who do you think this last series was more about? The Angels outplaying the Padres, or the Padres not playing to their level?
And thank you for saying that, because it's the Padres not playing to their level, and that's why I am frustrated. Because
but that is why we just finished saying what we said. They that is the definition of a 500 team right there.
I know. You're right. Baseball, I'm just learning more and more that it's one of the most emotional sports to be a fan of.
When you're at 500, it is. When the Padres were... I don't know. Has there ever been a time where they were like kicking? What was that? 20? Was it 21?
Yeah, 21.
The first half, they were like 15 games up.
Yeah,
we weren't tripping about losses like this until it started getting closer to 500. Then we were losing our mind.
Mm. And Fernando goes 4-for-4 last night. They lose. Luis Arraez runs into an out again at third. The avoidable
he ran into
stuff.
One before that?
No, I was saying the team. Anaheim ran into a couple outs at third.
Yeah, you know, that, you know, early on, obviously, especially when we had, I mean, it was a topic of conversation, you know, and then you end up losing by a run. You know, that's, those things matter.
Yeah, people are starting to get antsy about some of these guys getting thrown out on the bases, and
which I'm for aggressiveness.
We've talked about this a lot, and we talk about it a lot on the roundtable, so you'll hear it later. But you know, there's just a difference between being aggressive and being, you know, smarter. And I think in the case of Arraez and the one with Kim the other day, both getting thrown out at third, those are plays that are in front of them that they can see. And they just have to make better decisions. Now, I can see how Arraez got fooled, though.
Yep.
Because he looked up and there was no one covering third base.
That one
so
is different to
off, me. So he took off, right? And then the shortstop really made a heads-up play. And
yeah, that one's
ran in there and just beat him to the bag. So
that one is different than Kim's to me, right? Because not only was nobody covering, my man Rengifo was taking his sweet time
yes,
to get to
that baseball.
He was
loafing after the ball.
And so,
I love
you know,
the word loafing. He was.
he just and so he took a shot. And it, you know, turned out that it wasn't a good shot to take.
Yeah.
I say you only develop the smart part of it by being in those situations multiple times, and then you start to realize. And I'm talking about the individual. It can't if Profar gets thrown out at third, right on a play that he shouldn't. That doesn't then apply to Arraez or anybody else. I mean, yes, they shouldn't, but they didn't have that experience to be like, oh, you know what? That's probably not the ball to try it on right there.
Well, you know, I said this on the roundtable today. The only guy that I would consider giving a little bit of a stop sign to right now on the bases is Kim. Because I do think that he is reckless from time to time.
Well, we've seen it now for what?
Right.
You know,
I would tell him to start really considering, you know, when he goes for it or not. The rest of the guys I'm okay with. You're going to lose some base runners, and that's what's happened during this losing streak. But I think it'll pay off in some wins. And I think Tony's right. The more they learn when and when not to, the better at it they're going to become. And there's only one way to do that, and that's to try it. So I don't mind aggressive play.
Scraby is whispering in my ear that we need to go to break. So,
okay. Oh, yeah, I got my points out, so you guys need to get to break. I'm just kidding.
let's get to break when we come back. A lot more, Gwen and Chris. We got a 30-mile zone for you today. Daily Gambit, a big five. Chris, are we doing Christopher's Fan? I think we can, right?
We had to cancel it.
We had to cancel
it.
We'll have that roundtable for you later on in the show as well. Until then, let's get to a break. More Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to Glenn and Chris. 2:25 is the time. Going to be together for a couple of more hours. And then, Padre fans, don't miss it. The Padre Roundtable. 1 hour of commercial-free Padre talk with myself, Ben and Woods, Annie and Elston, also Braden Suprenant, part of the Padre Roundtable today. Some very good conversation about your favorite baseball team out there. Don't miss it between 4:30 and 5:30 tonight. Then Sam Levitt takes over with the Padre pregame show, the EcoWater SoCal Padre pregame show, leading you up to tonight's first pitch, which will be thrown by Randy Vasquez at approximately 6:40 this evening. Tony Gwynn Jr., we talked about the word roller coaster, and we've kind of decided on this show anyway that kiddie park ride is probably a little more accurate, because the Padres really haven't had major ups and major downs. They've just had a bunch of bumps along the way. But how about a little Jekyll and Hyde? Is that okay with this ball club? And I'll bring up the statistic from Sam Levitt himself.
Oh, wow.
Padres, in their 32 wins this year, are hitting .301 and averaging 6.5 runs per game, which is robust. But in their 33 losses, they're hitting a meager .214, and they're averaging 2.2 runs. It's interesting because, to me, Tony, everybody talks about pitching, and you've got to have more pitching, and pitching wins, and you got to have, you know, these guys and pitching well. But to me, at least for the foreseeable future, it's going to come down to scoring runs. If they can score runs, I think their pitching is going to be good enough. No?
Yes and no.
Yes, I think.
Yeah. I think early on there were some clear issues with, I don't know, I guess we'll just say pitching as a whole. We had like a couple rounds through rotation that didn't go well. I'm sorry, I forgot I was on camera. I'm over here leaning into the out of the screen. There was a tweet out today of
Angel Hernandez doing his retirement press conference on camera, except only half of him was on the camera.
He couldn't get the
joke
full
being
picture.
That he couldn't get on anyway. Never mind.
They were picking on poor Angel again. I see what they did there.
The poor guy's been retired for like a week now, and they still can't leave him alone.
Let Angel just be Angel now, man. Leave him alone, man. What was I saying? I lost my train of thought.
I don't know.
Pitching.
You said that.
Then we had the bullpen issues.
Right.
We haven't had a ton of offensive problems. You know, we've had, I think, about, there's this four game streak, and I think they might have been poor in that last, was it four games that they lost before? Was it three? I think it was four that they lost in a row previously. But for the most part, the offense has been pretty good. At home, I think we've seen the whole team struggle in general. I'll just say it. I think ultimately our 500 point is the thing that we should hang on to.
Just keep going back to that. Yeah.
Because, you know, the Padres are what, 32-33, right?
Correct.
Largely without Bogarts, Manny, Toddy, Ha-Sung Kim, Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove. Right? And you kind of pointed to this early. You take those six off the board. What kind of team are they, a 500 team without those six? You could make an argument they're maybe below 500 without those six. Now, you can't just remove them because they've been playing. I mean, there's been pockets that they've been good, especially here recently. But, you know, as I think we said this a few weeks ago, maybe we've said it multiple times, the Padres will go in the image that I think our base believes of this team, they'll get to that when the big guys are doing the big guy things. I think that's just really what it is, ultimately. If they're not getting that kind of production from the big guys and the health from the big guys, this team can only go so far.
Yeah, and that's why seeing Manny pull up after he hit the first base bag last night was so disconcerting. Because
especially when he's been starting to get going finally.
Yeah, so we'll see. We don't have a lineup yet, Tony, and I know you're going to be keeping an eye out for one there at Petco Park. But, you know, people want to, you know, see if he's going to be in there tonight. Personally, I'll be surprised.
I would
think
be
day
too.
After is usually worse than when it happens in my
I did hear getting on the bus that it wasn't, you know, wasn't horrible, wasn't bad, wasn't that bad, is I think the words I heard. But ultimately, when you go to sleep and that muscle just sits there,
that's right,
you really find out how it's feeling the following day.
Yeah.
So I would expect this lineup is going to be a little late today.
Let's hope that, you know, even if he's not in there today, it's not a injury list type of situation. Because like I said, there are very few teams that can take four of their five top paid players off the roster and perform at peak level. Very few teams.
You know what's the most frustrating thing about what Tony said is that Tony is...
You used that word quite a bit today, Scrape, I must say.
Yes. What you said is correct. And to me as a fan, it's a little... I'm not saying you are doing this, but they're winning without these guys sounds propaganda-ish a little bit to me. I know that you're telling the truth, and I'm not saying that you're spreading propaganda.
How is it propaganda-ish?
Just because
you said the word,
team.
So.
No, I know. I want to make it clear that I'm not saying that Tony is spreading propaganda. But when the team is only 500 and we're trying to highlight the fact that they are under 500 by one game without these guys, it doesn't compute in my brain for some reason. Wow, I just looked in the camera, and Tony is very close to the camera right now. Tony is very close. Chris is staring at me, too. Am I really that? Oh, now Chris is very close to the camera. Am I really that far off base? Like,
well, I don't know.
I just want to hear this
Tony
propaganda.
Tony handing out pamphlets around
again. I said Tony wasn't a part of it.
you decided to say it after I said what.
Because
I
when if Tony, I show up okay. to the game tonight and I see you outside the stadium peddling pamphlets, Tony, I'm going to have a good laugh. I'll tell you that.
Tony is mad dogging you right now.
I'll say it this way. I'll leave the other guys in terms of. Not the big guys out of it.
Okay.
If those six aren't performing at a high level or the level that they are accustomed to playing at, this team can't be the 10-game, 12-game, 15-game over 500 type or more type of team that I think when people show up to the ballpark are expecting to see. I'll say that. That way it doesn't seem like I'm giving off propaganda about the dudes who aren't those guys playing well and we're right there at 500. That's not what I was trying to say.
Going into it, I knew I was waiting. I just wanted to make it clear that Tony was not spreading propaganda to my ears, it sounds like it, because the wins aren't stacking up, you know?
Well,
Understand that 7 of the 15 teams in the National League right now are within 3 games of 500. The Padres being one of those.
That's another good propaganda point, Chris.
We need to lose this word.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. He's going to throw something at me.
Throwing pamphlets out.
Oh, he's throwing pamphlets. That's my sheet. Now you got to go get the sheet again.
That's yesterday's sheet, okay. So don't worry about
go
it.
Go ahead. Propaganda that up.
I don't know. I just think it's, you know, what Tony says is really true. The Phillies couldn't be 44-19 if they weren't getting it from, you know, Aaron Nola. You know, pitching a shutout every night.
That's
Wheeler. And Wheeler and Bryce Harper. And, you know, they're great guys, have to be great, and they've been great. And then
that's
the rest of the guys
point.
Are doing their thing.
The year they got to the World Series is a good example of that. That team was underperforming for a large part, and then their big guys got hot. Castellanos got hot. Harper got hot. Schwarber started to get hot. And all of a sudden, they went from a team that was about 500 to finishing, I can't remember what their exact record. They were about 10 over when they got to the playoffs, or they went to the
World
playoffs
Series.
That year.
Yeah,
so it makes there's a reason why those guys are coveted, because they make that big of a difference on a team, and you know that's, as you said, Chris, I think you put it. That's what was most disheartening about seeing Manny come off, because of what he's looked like in the past couple of weeks. It would have felt the same way if Toddy, knock on wood,
yeah,
did that right then when he's starting to swing the bat as well as we've seen him.
Yes,
quite frankly, since 21,
11 game hit streak for Fernando, 4-for-4 for the 7th time in his career last night. All right, we'll keep an eye on that lineup. We'll check into everything Padres and the roundtable at 4:30. Until then, some more Gwynn and Chris fun on the way.
Am I on now?
Yes, you are.
All right, 2:40 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Padre lineup in, Manny Machado.
Whoa!
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't give the lineup. I just gave a little teaser.
Okay, now you can go ahead, sir.
Have you ever seen him get so angry before, Scraby? Calm down.
This dude really loves that.
Yeah, he does.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
It triggers something with the people out there.
Well, all right.
So you've been told.
I hate you guys today, by the way.
Still not up yet. I can't remember it on top of my head. Off the top. Oh, Jesse just hooked it up. All right, here we go.
So Manny is not in, though.
Manny's not in the lineup.
Okay.
We're going Luis Arraez. We're going Toddy Jr., Prof, Crone, Peralta, Merrill, H.S. Kim, Wade, Higashioka.
Wade's at third base.
Wade's at third. Peralta's the designated. Everything else, pretty much standard. Rises at first. Crone at second.
By the way, thank goodness, I know he's not in the lineup tonight, but could we just pat Luis Campusano on the shoulder for breaking that slump yesterday? Finally getting a hit.
Yeah.
And you know what, Tony? I know you saw this. His first at bat, he gets called out on strikes on a pitch that's 8 feet outside. And I'm like, if Campusano doesn't lose his mind over that, I gave him, he walked off so relaxed. I'm like, this guy is a special individual.
He's smart.
Because if you're in an 0-for streak like that, and then the ump rings you up on a pitch that's that far outside, I'd want to just, I'd squeeze the sawdust right out of the bat.
Yeah, you know, some of you know good people out there who've been, I've seen some of the messages y'all tried to send to my man on some of his posts. You guys are weak sauce on that one. I'm just pointing it out. That
Luis
being said,
Campusano's getting hate on his posts.
Yeah, man, it's just got, you know, we got a lot of haters out there. It's just just how it goes. Nonetheless, it's smart. It shows some maturity for him, right? Because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, man, I don't know how he doesn't lose his mind on CB Buckner right now, based on the way things are going. But he did, and you know why? Because he got to catch. And he got to get those calls for his guy. So
that's right.
He has to put his own 0-for whatever aside and think about the guys on the mound that he has to catch, and maybe trying to work CB to get those calls for his guys.
Yeah, that's a really unselfish thing to do, honestly.
Because I know there was every part in his being wanted to turn around and dog cuss.
Well, I did.
CB Buckner.
Well, if he didn't, I
you did for him.
So I did for him. I was like, you can't, not now, not to Luis now. But you know what? Next time up, laced a single. You know, so hopefully this will get him going. You know, get it off, get him off the schneid, as it were.
The schneid.
Yeah. By the way, schneid. Someone took a screenshot of us up on the camera.
Oh, right they did.
Oh, really? That's hilarious.
That'll scare some people.
Well, it was very concerning. Oh, I see. It was Brock. Brock did it. It was very concerning.
It was Brock.
When I looked over after I said the word propaganda, and Tony was immediately in the camera looking at me. It was very scary.
Yeah. Well, don't use those words.
I didn't.
Yeah. Don't put me next to propaganda.
And don't say gaslight, and you'll be all right.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
I forgot about the word gaslight and how it triggers Chris.
This has been a triggered week for all of us, I think. Or at least Chris and I. I can't speak for you, Tony.
I try not to be triggered.
We ready for some 30 Mile Zone?
Let's do it.
If you don't know your sports gossip, can you really call yourself a sports fan? It's time to bring together sports and celebrity gossip. We call it the 30 Mile Zone, mainly so we don't get sued by the real company. On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, so we're going to go through some of the other stories around. I figured today would be a great time for a 30 Mile Zone. Forget about the Padres woes for a little bit. And talk about things like Stephon Diggs revealing his true Josh Allen feelings after being traded to the Texans. Now, that was a clickbait article. I clicked on it because I wanted to see. And I was surprised, not because Stephon Diggs was complimentary, but how complimentary he was of Josh Allen. He said, when I got to Buffalo, Josh was and still is my guy. People don't really understand what it's like to be out there. He really embraced me. He kind of had that southern hospitality. We spent a lot of time together, and I probably wouldn't be right here if it wasn't for him. I got a lot of love for that boy, so y'all give him a hug and a kiss for me. So all those rumors about Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs hating each other doesn't seem like it's a thing. So
I think it's still a thing.
It's still a thing.
I don't believe Stephon Diggs.
But why would he be? Why would
I don't know why he would.
And lies through his teeth.
If he wasn't mad at Josh Allen, then what was he so angry about all the time? This guy was never happy when he was in Buffalo. So was it maybe it was the play calling. Maybe it was the coach. Maybe it was the hardcore Buffalo media. I don't know. But, I mean, don't you think, Tony? I mean, he never seemed like he was content. So maybe he owes us an explanation as to what was really bothering him. If it wasn't Josh Allen, then what was it?
I don't think he owes us any explanation.
I do. I want one. He was on my fantasy team for at least 2 years. With that ownership comes an explanation.
Okay. Yes, it does come back to fantasy. I won't blame you for that.
It always does.
I mean, it further highlights that we need to stop trying to guesswork based off of a screen that's in front of us with no words. We're taking emotion and, you know, some hand gesturing maybe, and it's like, oh, this is what they're talking about. Oh, this is what he's upset about. And the reality is we don't know nothing. We're watching the TV screen and guessing is what we're doing. Now, that doesn't mean that there weren't times where things got heated or he might have been upset with Josh. He didn't look his way on. That's just football. That happens all the time. But, you know, we've been trying to make, and I'm guilty of it too, of trying to guess what it seemingly is bothering Diggs. By the way, it was just really the last year and a half that he seemed to be not as happy as he was when he first got there, but nonetheless, I like the fact that even if there is some beef, he's not dragging it out in public light for all of us to now then talk about. If they have beef, they can talk about it. They got each other's number. They can do it like, you know, kind of like real people do it most of the time.
Yeah.
But most people think Stephon Diggs, I mean, you haven't thought this yet, Scraby, but I'm sure you have, actually.
What is happening here?
That he's going to go to Houston and he'll be unhappy the first time that C.J. Stroud doesn't throw him the ball.
Most people think that, or Chris Ello thinks that?
I think
that he will at some point be unhappy with the Texans, because I think he's just a wide receiver that wants to win and he wants the ball, and we've seen those throughout the years. It doesn't make me a fan of antics like freaking out on the sideline. But
he was the most targeted receiver in football the last 3 years, see, and you still know we're not happy.
Yes, that is an issue. If you're the most targeted wide receiver for 3 years, you can't be mad. You're getting the most money.
I got a question.
Right.
Do we have any quotes of Diggs saying, I need the ball more, or I'm not getting the ball enough, or do we have any quotes from him on any of these things?
Chris?
Yes, we do, Tony.
Just doesn't have them in front of him.
It just happened with me.
All right.
I threw them away when I was handing out propaganda papers.
I did see that sheet go in the air.
That's right.
It did fly away.
Yes.
All right. Here's a serious story. The Chicago Sky were met by a man with a camera as they arrived last night at their team hotel in D.C. ahead of their game tonight against the Mystics. Now, Sky General Manager Jeff Pagliocca, I pronounced that wrong, I'm sure, confirmed to ESPN that the man was trying to approach Kennedy Carter, whose flagrant foul against Indiana Fever rookie Caitlin Clark on Saturday has been the subject of widespread debate. The GM said that the team security de-escalated the encounter. The police were not called. A video of the incident was posted on X, but then it was taken down. And several of the Sky players posted on X saying that they thank security, and they were saying that their teammate was being harassed at the hotel by some dude.
There's no questions.
Thankfully, I don't have to come up with a question.
Open for discussion.
This is a reaction. Yes.
Well, this is what I hate about our
people.
World.
Yes.
Yeah. Not sports. I mean, this is just our world. I mean, the whole incident between Kennedy Carter and Caitlin Clark should be left on the basketball court, which is where it happened. More than a few people that Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese off the court get along apparently just fine.
Yeah, that's
they posed for pictures together. They supported each other at the WNBA draft. They cheered for each other on the court. They are hardcore, combatants. I'm pretty sure Larry Bird and Magic Johnson were, they always, understood
you
what each meant to each other, but they
heard the story about how they had to coax them to do that commercial together at that time. That wasn't something that they were looking forward to do at first.
Right. Nobody cared about that for some reason. This is spilling out into way too much. It really is.
Why, Tony?
Because they're men. Mm. We haven't quite figured out how to have the discussions that we almost every day have about men's sports as we're having to now kind of do with the WNBA, because it's reached that level, at least from the standpoint of we're having conversations about it. I don't think we know how to, I don't think most of the media has figured out how to talk about it
yet. How we feel about these kids or these athletes going at each other with such, such hardcore competition. I think
literally,
you're right, Tony.
Literally, in a men's game, we've seen a guy get smush-faced in a game, right? Skirmish breaks out, technical fouls are handed. We're not then harassing, in today's day, and it's a little different. The fan issue is, we've talked about that a billion times now. We are just out of control.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff should stay on the court. It's fun to talk about on our show as it pertains to it being on the court. But once you start
waiting outside the bus, up
to hotels
so
they can go viral with their stupid phone clip harassing one of the players, I think the police should have been called. They should have de-escalated the situation in terms of that. They should have called the police, and maybe they can't arrest him. I don't know. I don't know if it could have been an actual charge. But they called police on a lot less things.
That was the loudest siren I've ever heard.
They called the police on a lot less things that are happening than this. They should have certainly called the police on this one.
I agree. Chris, maybe turn down your headphones and you won't hear the siren so loud.
Woo!
Almost blew your eardrums.
Yes, I thought it was.
I gotta say, it was louder than I expected it to be. all right, next story is Anthony Richardson, Colts quarterback. He was on Pat McAfee the other day, and he revealed that he got a whole back tattoo done. Took 7 hours, 4 artists. But this is where people are kind of thinking it's kind of weird. He said that he was sedated for this tattoo, so he was asleep the entire time. And he said, people aren't going to like the fact that I went to sleep, but I've been getting tattoos since I was 13. I've did my time in going through pain. Now, I have 3 tattoos, not as many as him, obviously, or as big as him, but I kind of like the pain of the tattoo. I kind of was, like, into it. Honestly, I fell asleep during one of my tattoos because it was, like, rhythmic. So, I don't have a problem with him going to sleep for this, but it does sound a little dangerous.
That's my issue with it. I mean, we lost one of the greatest artists in the world because he was being put to sleep medically.
Really?
You know, Michael Jackson. That's how, he was being put to sleep to just do regular sleep. He wasn't even getting a tattoo in this situation.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Right? And so, like, I think it is kind of dangerous. Now, I get it. I ain't never had a back tattoo. I got a half arm sleeve, and I, like you, Scrape, I don't know that I would say it's painful, but the rhythmic needling, I fell asleep a couple times.
Really? That's funny.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, there's
hot
spots where there's no way I could fall asleep.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I dig what you're saying. But, you know, I guess to each his own. I do feel like that's a little dangerous. Anytime you're doing, what is that?
Anesthesia?
Anesthesia? Like, come on, man. That's
you're messing
that's
with
like,
stuff.
That's the real big deal stuff right there, man. I don't know if it's worth a tattoo.
Yeah. Chris, what do you
that
got?
That being said, he got a lot of work done on his back. It's
7 hours worth.
Filled,
I'm just enjoying the fact that I don't have any idea what you guys are really referring to because I'm not getting a tattoo.
Chris, my inside
arm? I
want to
get one on my leg next.
Ooh, I'm going to get one soon, too.
I want to get like a half leg, like a full leg joint.
Wow. That will be fun to see in pieces. But
I don't know
Chris,
what I'm going to do yet, so it might not ever come.
When I got the inside of my arm, they just basically, it's just scraping you for like an hour or two.
And it wasn't very
good.
What
fun I've
pleasant.
Missed out on.
All right. That was it for 30 Mile Zone. We got Daily Gambit up next, I believe.
All right. We'll roll along.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you don't know your sports gossip, can you really call yourself a sports fan? It's time to bring together sports and celebrity gossip. We call it the 30 Mile Zone, mainly so we don't get sued by the real company. On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, so we're going to go through some of the other stories around. I figured today would be a great time for a 30-mile zone. Forget about the Padres woes for a little bit. And talk about things like Stephon Diggs revealing his true Josh Allen feelings after being traded to the Texans. Now, that was a clickbait article. I clicked on it because I wanted to see. And I was surprised, not because Stephon Diggs was complimentary, but how complimentary he was of Josh Allen. He said, when I got to Buffalo, Josh was and still is my guy. People don't really understand what it's like to be out there. He really embraced me. He kind of had that southern hospitality. We spent a lot of time together, and I probably wouldn't be right here if it wasn't for him. I got a lot of love for that boy, so y'all give him a hug and a kiss for me. So, all those rumors about Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs hating each other doesn't seem like it's a thing. So
I think it's still a thing.
It's still a thing.
I don't believe Stephon Diggs.
But why would he be? Why would
I don't know why he would.
And why was there his
teeth? If he wasn't mad at Josh Allen, then what was he so angry about all the time? This guy was never happy when he was in Buffalo. So was it maybe it was the play calling? Maybe it was the coach? Maybe it was the hardcore Buffalo media? I don't know. But, I mean, don't you think, Tony? I mean, he never seemed like he was content. So maybe he owes us an explanation as to what was really bothering him. If it wasn't Josh Allen, then what was it?
I don't think he owes us any explanation.
I do. I want one. He was on my fantasy team for at least 2 years. With that ownership comes an explanation.
Okay. Yes, it does come back to fantasy. I won't blame you for that.
It always does.
I mean, it further highlights that we need to stop trying to guesswork based off of a screen that's in front of us with no words. We're taking emotion and, you know, some hand gesturing maybe, and it's like, oh, this is what they're talking about. Oh, this is what he's upset about. And the reality is we don't know nothing. We're watching the TV screen and guessing is what we're doing. Now, that doesn't mean that there weren't times where things got heated or he might have been upset with Josh. He didn't look his way on. That's just football. That happens all the time. But, you know, we've been trying to make, and I'm guilty of it too, of trying to guess what it seemingly is bothering Diggs. By the way, it was just really the last year and a half that he seemed to be not as happy as he was when he first got there, but nonetheless, I like the fact that even if there is some beef, he's not dragging it out in public light for all of us to now then talk about. If they have beef, they can talk about it. They got each other's number. They can do it like, you know, kind of like real people do it most of the time.
Yeah. But most people think Stephon Diggs, I mean, you haven't thought this yet, Scraby, but I'm sure you have, actually.
What is happening here?
That he's going to go to Houston and he'll be unhappy the first time that C.J. Stroud doesn't throw him the ball.
Most people think that, or Chris Ello thinks that.
I think
that he will at some point be unhappy with the Texans, because I think he's just a wide receiver that wants to win and he wants the ball, and we've seen those throughout the years. It doesn't make me a fan of antics like, you know, freaking out on the sideline, but
he was the most targeted receiver in football the last 3 years. See, and you still know we're not happy.
Yes, that is an issue. If you're the most targeted wide receiver for 3 years, you can't be mad. You're getting the most money.
I got a question.
Right.
Has do we have any quotes of Diggs saying, I need the ball more, or I'm not getting the ball enough, or do we have any quotes from him on any of these things?
Chris?
Yes, we do, Tony.
Just doesn't have it in front of him.
It just happened with me.
All right.
I threw them away when I was handing out propaganda paper.
I did see that sheet go in the
air. That's right.
It went fly away.
Yes.
All right. Here's a serious story. The Chicago Sky were met by a man with a camera as they arrived last night at their team hotel in D.C. ahead of their game tonight against the Mystics. Now, Sky General Manager Jeff Pagliocca, I pronounced that wrong, I'm sure, confirmed to ESPN that the man was trying to approach Kennedy Carter, whose flagrant foul against Indiana Fever rookie Caitlin Clark on Saturday has been the subject of widespread debate. The GM said that the team security de-escalated the encounter. The police were not called. A video of the incident was posted on X, but then it was taken down. And several of the Sky players posted on X saying that they thank security, and they were saying that their teammate was being harassed at the hotel by some dude. This isn't the big five.
There's no questions.
We're thankfully, just I don't open. Have to come up with a question.
Open for discussion.
This is a reaction. Yes.
Well, this is what I hate about our
people.
World.
Yes.
Yeah. Not yeah. sports. I mean, this is just our world. I mean, you know, the whole incident between Kennedy Carter and Caitlin Clark should be left on the basketball court, which is where it happened. You know, I mean, more than a few people did. Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese off the court get along apparently just fine.
Yeah, that's
what I've heard too. They posed for pictures together. They supported each other at the WNBA draft. They cheered for each other on the court. They are hardcore, combatants. I'm pretty sure Larry Bird and Magic Johnson were, they always, understood what each meant to each other, but
You heard the story about how they had to coax them to do that commercial together at that time. That wasn't something that they were yes. looking forward to do at first.
Right. Nobody cared about that for some reason. This is spilling out into way too much. It really yeah. is.
Why, Tony?
Because they're men. Mm. We haven't quite figured out how to have the discussions that we almost every day have about men's sports as we're having to now kind of do with the WNBA, because it's reached that level, at least from the standpoint of we're having conversations about it. I don't think we know how to, I don't think most of the media has figured out how to talk about it
yet. How we feel about these kids or these athletes going at each other with such, such hardcore competition. I think
literally,
you're right, Tony.
Literally, in a men's game, we've seen a guy get smush-faced in a game, right? Skirmish breaks out, technical fouls are handed. We're not then harassing, in today's day, and it's a little different. The fan issue is, we've talked about that a billion times now. We are just out of control.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff should stay on the court. It's fun to talk about on our show as it pertains to it being on the court. But once you start
waiting outside the bus, up
to hotels
yeah.
so they can go viral with their stupid phone clip harassing one of the players, I think the police should have been called. They should have de-escalated the situation in terms of that. They should have called the police, and maybe they can't arrest him. I don't know. I don't know if they could have been an actual charge. But they called police on a lot less things.
That was the loudest siren I've ever heard.
They called the police on a lot less things that are happening than this. They should have certainly called the police on this one.
I agree. Chris, maybe turn down your headphones and you won't hear the siren so loud.
Woo.
Almost blew your eardrums.
Yes, I thought it was.
I gotta say, it was louder than I expected for it to be. all right, next story is Anthony Richardson, Colts quarterback. He was on Pat McAfee the other day, and he revealed that he got a whole back tattoo done. Took 7 hours, 4 artists, but this is where people are kind of thinking it's kind of weird. He said that he was sedated for this tattoo, so he was asleep the entire time. And he said, people aren't going to like the fact that I went to sleep, but I've been getting tattoos since I was 13. I've did my time in going through pain. Now, I have 3 tattoos, not as many as him, obviously, or as big as him, but I kind of like the pain of the tattoo. I kind of was, into it. Honestly, I fell asleep during one of my tattoos because it was, rhythmic. So, I don't have a problem with him going to sleep for this, but it does sound a little dangerous.
That's my issue with it. I mean, we lost one of the greatest artists in the world because he was being put to sleep medically.
Really?
Michael Jackson. That's how,
yes.
He was being put to sleep to just do regular sleep. He wasn't even getting a tattoo in this situation.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Right? And so, I think it is kind of dangerous. Now, I get it. I ain't never had a back tattoo. I got a half arm sleeve, and I like you, Scrape. I don't know that I would say it's painful, but the rhythmic
mm-hmm.
needling, I fell asleep a couple times.
Really? That's funny.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, there's
hot
spots where there's no way I could fall asleep.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Outside of that, I dig what you're saying, but I guess to each his own. I do feel like that's a little dangerous. Anytime you're doing,
Anesthesia?
Like, yeah. Come on, man. That's
you're messing that's with like, stuff.
That's the real big deal stuff right there, man. I don't know if it's worth a tattoo.
Yeah. Chris, what do you
that
got?
That being said, he got a lot of work done on his back. It's
7 hours worth.
I'm just enjoying the fact that I don't have any idea what you guys are really referring to because I'm not getting a tattoo.
Chris, my inside
arm? I
want to
get one on my leg next.
Ooh, I'm going to get one soon, too.
I want to get like a half leg, like a full leg joint.
Wow. That will be fun to see in pieces. But
I don't know
Chris,
what I'm going to do yet, so it might not ever come.
When I got the inside of my arm, they just basically, it's just scraping you for like an hour or two.
And it wasn't very
good.
What
fun I've missed out on.
All right. That was it for 30 Mile Zone. We got Daily Gambit up next, I believe.
All right. We'll roll along.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.